Say it's been a number of weeks since we've been here, and I've been stirred up in my spirit about some things, and I want to share with you a few minutes before we go. I got a bit of a word, I believe, from God, and I'm going to share it with you really quick, because I think it's important for us to reflect on the reason that Jesus came. You'll remember I shared Sunday morning about what Jesus went to do when he left here, when he came to earth, but what he went to do. And one of the things that I mentioned was that he went to prepare a place for us. Every one of us, as we're born into the kingdom of God, Jesus went to prepare a dwelling place for us. And the scripture said if he was not so, you know, he would have told us. But he went to do that for us, but he also went to be an intercessor for us. Or the Bible speaks about him praying for us continually. And we talked a little bit about what Jesus went to do, but I want to share with you this morning about why Jesus came. Why did Jesus come in the first place? He went, but he also came. And I'm going to talk about him coming. And what did Jesus actually come to do? There are a number of reasons that we could speak about, but I'm going to share a few things with you this morning. We know that he came as a babe in a manger. He came into this world, and he came as a child. He came like one of us, and he came to be Savior of the world. But all through this, I want you to remember that Jesus came one time, but he's coming again. Jesus is coming again, and we celebrate his first coming at his birth, coming as Savior, but the next time he comes, he's not going to come as Savior of the world. The Bible talks about him coming as a judge of the world. The Bible talks about him coming as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It's going to be a different scene the second time Jesus comes than when the first time he came. But what did he come to do? Well, we're going to read a number of scriptures this morning. As I say, I'm going to try to move through this pretty quickly about what Jesus came to do. 1 John 3:5 says, and you know that he, Jesus, was manifested to take away our sins. Manifested simply means that he appeared or he came on the scene. I like to put it that way. Jesus came on the scene to do some things. Whenever we see that word manifested, just think about him coming and being seen and being manifested. He came to do something. And we know from this scripture that he came to take away our sins. My goodness, we could stop there and just revel in that. The fact that Jesus Christ came to take away our sins. Glory to God. I mean, if we aren't really excited and really thankful that Jesus came to take away our sins, we don't realize what sinners we were. Let me say that again. If we're not excited about the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ came to take away our sin, we don't realize the trouble we were in before he came to do that. Because that is an awesome thing, a marvelous thing. Jesus came to take away our sins. Let's go to 1 John 3:8. Another reason why Jesus came. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. Do you see some things that are happening in the world today that you attribute to the works of the devil? I certainly do. You see things all around us and in other countries. You don't have to look very far to see some things that have taken place that the enemy is involved in. And one of the things that Jesus came to do was to destroy the works of the devil. If there's some things in your life that are happening, that are going on, that are taking place, that you attribute to the devil being behind that, know that Jesus came to destroy those works. Jesus came to take care of poverty, sickness, and death. Jesus came to destroy those things that the devil is behind. I'm so glad he did. Another translation says, the Son of God appeared for this purpose of undoing the work of the devil. Undoing the work of the devil. Another translation, Phillips' translation says, now the Son of God came to earth with the express purpose of undoing the devil's work. So Jesus came to forgive us our sins. He also came to undo the devil's work. I am convinced that the enemy is behind every broken marriage. Every person that was ever molested, every person that ever was ever hurt or any ravaged by sickness or disease or relationship problems of all kinds, I'm convinced that the devil is behind all that. And Jesus came to destroy that kind of work. I'm so glad he did. I'm so glad he came to destroy the works of the devil. 1 John 4:9 says, and this is the love of God that was manifested, the love of God that showed up toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. We might live through him. I've tried to live life without Christ in my heart. And I know many have had. Tried to live Christ with live life and get along good in life without Jesus Christ. And I'm so glad that he came, that now that we can live our lives through Christ. What's it mean to live life through Christ? Well, it means to live life according to his directive, according to his guidance, according to the principles that he has set forth. If we live life the way Jesus lived it, we can know that we will experience the life that God has come to bring us. He has came that we might live life through him. Well, now we've been reading out of the New Testament, and let's go back to the Old Testament for a moment, because we have to realize that Jesus came for a number of reasons. And I love the scripture in Psalm 103 where it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not any of his benefits. The Bible tells us not to forget the benefits of Jesus coming, the benefits of serving the Lord. And it goes on to say that the benefits are he forgives all our sins and he heals all our diseases. Benefits of the kingdom of God are awesome. We think we have great benefits here in Canada, living in this nation of Canada. There's some things that we enjoy. We have a health care system that we enjoy. We have a retirement system and so forth that we enjoy. Pensions that we enjoy that come from, that we pay into all our lives and so forth. But they are benefits of being a citizen of the kingdom of Canada, or pardon me, the dominion of Canada. But in the kingdom of God, there are benefits as well. And Jesus came that we might enjoy those benefits. And in Psalms 103, we read about them. Now, going to Isaiah 53:4, here's another benefit, something Jesus came to do. Yet he himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, bore our sicknesses and carried our pains. He did something for us in this natural realm. Not only did he take away our sin, thank God he took away our sin, but he also came to deal with that which would try to ravish our bodies as well. That's why we believe in healing. Somebody mentioned here a while ago about that we have healing service. We have healing services because we believe that Jesus came to bring healing to our bodies where healing is needed. And all we have to do is watch the ministry, look at the ministry of Jesus Christ when he walked upon the earth, and you see how many times he moved in the area of healing. Another thing Jesus came to do in John 10:10, the Bible says the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. I have come that you might have life. What does that mean? Aren't we living now? Didn't we live before Jesus came? Well, that word life there is from the Greek word zoe, and it's a different kind of life than what we generally speak of. It's actually, if you get down to the bare bones of what it actually means, it is life as God has it. Absolute life. You know, God is eternal, an eternal being. You and I are eternal beings as well. And he has come that we might have this life, the fullness of life, or the life as God has it, and have it more abundantly. Jesus came not to leave us, even to get saved and to just barely get by in this world, or just maybe go through this world suffering and so forth. He came that we might experience life the way he had originally designed us to experience life. And you remember those two guys in the garden, those two people in the garden, Adam and Eve? He told them to go in there and have a wonderful time. He told them, he gave them some things to do, but he had them protected against sickness and disease and so many other things. Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Now, something else he came to do. Let's mention another one, Matthew 20:28. I love this. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Oh, I wish we as Christians would grab a hold of this in a great way. We love to talk about the things that Jesus has done for us. He delivered us from sin, and you know, he came that we might have life and have it more abundantly, but he also came to serve. And if we're going to be like Jesus, we have to think about everything that Jesus came to do. If Jesus is our example, and I believe he can be in so many ways in life, then if he came to serve, we ought to have that attitude as well. We ought to come to serve one another, come to serve in the kingdom of God, come to do the things that Jesus wants us to do while we're here on earth. Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. This is something that the Son of Man came. Now, it's interesting. Jesus is, that statement is made when Jesus has just finished talking to Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus, you remember, he's the guy that climbed up in the tree and Jesus stopped and looked at him and told him he was going to have supper at his house today. And it seemed like at that time Zacchaeus came into the kingdom. Jesus ministered to him. And it seemed like Jesus is trying to get across to us, Zacchaeus, I was seeking after you. I looked up. Everybody wasn't paying attention to you. In fact, everybody was trying to push you away, Zacchaeus, but you had enough gumption to climb up on top of that tree, and I looked at you, and I was looking for you, and I seen you, because I come to seek and to save that which was lost. That Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus came to save a lost and dying world. And I believe one of the Christian principles that you and I have to get back into is that there is a lost world out there. We can get so much into ourselves that we forget about the fact there's a lost world dying and going to hell. And that you and I have a responsibility. Because Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. How much time are we spending seeking people that will be able to spread the gospel message to them so that they could hear the message of salvation? They could hear what Jesus has came to do. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. James chapter 5:20 says, whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. Jesus came to save us from death, came to save the world from death, came to save the world from an eternal destiny of damnation. Now, I know you may think, this isn't a very light, uplifting message on a Christmas message, Pastor. Well, I believe it's reality. One of the things that gets us into major problems in this world is that we refuse to face what the reality that we live in. And we want to live our lives often the way we think it should be rather than the reality of what we're dealing with. And you and I come and we fellowship together and we enjoy the presence of God and we enjoy worshiping, but there's also something that must be done. We have a responsibility. And one of the things that I want to do in 2014, I want to get a sign and put it across the back there and that actually speaks to us, that as we see the sign when we go out the door that says, you are now entering into your field of ministry. In other words, when we go out those doors, we enter into our field of ministry, that we are to seek and to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to every friend that we meet, to everyone that we come in contact, and that, you know, sometimes that would be speaking words, otherwise it may be showing the love of Christ in whatever way he gives us to show. Hebrews 2:14, Jesus came to do something else that's very, very powerful. It says, since all these sons and daughters have flesh and blood, talking about mankind, Jesus took on flesh and blood to be like them. He did this so that by dying he would destroy the one who had power over death, that is the devil. In this way he would free those who were slaves all their lives because they were afraid of dying. All their lives they were in subject to bondage because of the fear of death. He came to destroy death itself. Have you ever been afraid of dying? Have you afraid of dying today? You may be afraid of dying today. You don't have to be. If you're a born-again believer, you don't have to be. You can recognize that when you leave this place, you actually go to a better place, a place that we call heaven. That death can no longer has a sting over us. Why? Because we have no fear of dying. What's the worst thing that could happen? You could leave this body and go to be with Jesus. I wouldn't call that a worst thing, really. Praise the Lord. We no longer have to be afraid of death. 1 Corinthians 15:26 says, the last enemy to be destroyed is death. Death and destruction. Jesus came to destroy death and destruction. So let's just go back a little bit and let's look again at what Jesus done really quickly. He came, first of all, to take away our sin. Second, he came to destroy the works of the devil. Third, he came to bear our sicknesses and carry our pains. Fourth, he came to give us life, Zoe, the abundant life, the God kind of life. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. He was willing to pour out his life for others. He came to defeat death. That's quite a list, really. He came to seek and to save that was lost. He came to serve. Jesus came to do all these things, and we could go on and mention other things. But the question that I want to ask you this morning, and it's a serious question that we might ask ourselves, why did you come? Why are you here? Why have you been placed on this planet at this particular time? Why have you been born into this world and are here now? What's your destiny in life? We know Jesus. We read. What's yours? Have you ever asked yourself, have you asked God, why am I here? I believe we have an answer this morning. Look at Luke chapter 6, verse 40. A disciple, Jesus said this, a disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like his teacher. Will be like his teacher. Could you have a different mission than Jesus Christ? If you are a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, could I have a different mission? Would one of the attributes or one of the reasons why Jesus came and he said that he came to serve, Jesus came to serve, would I have something different? Would you have something different? Would you think that, yes, my master, the one I claim to follow, the one I claim to be a disciple of, I know he came to serve, but me, I'm not. I've come to be served. You think that would fly? I don't think so. What about Jesus saying he came to seek those who are lost? If he came to seek those who are lost, you suppose that maybe if I'm a disciple of his, but that wouldn't be a part of my life. I wouldn't need to seek those who are lost. No, I don't think so. I think if Jesus came to seek those who are lost, I think you and I need to take that on as well. He came to seek those who are lost. I pray that in 2014, we might take on something powerful when it comes to reaching the lost in our communities, our friends. I think if we're honest, if we had to go back, if we're honest, and I ask for a show of hands of how many people actually were diligently praying for individuals who were lost, that the blindness would be taken down off their eyes, and ask how many people have actually spoken life to others over the last year, how many, we call it witnessing, how many people actually shared the love of Jesus Christ with an unbeliever. It probably wouldn't be that great. I know it wouldn't be as great as it should be or could be. But I'm believing that 2014 is going to be different. That 2014, we're going to become a people who will have a heart for the lost. We'll become a people who will wake up in the morning and say, God, who can we witness to today? Who can we share the love of Jesus with today? Now, I want you young people and children, you people are, you know, when it comes to sharing the gospel, age doesn't make any difference. You have just as much responsibility as I do to share Christ. You have just as much responsibility to go out and share the love of Jesus Christ in whatever form that he can give you to share. Is the time that the church said, Lord Jesus, what can we do for you? The Bible talks that those who lead many people to righteousness, they're wise. They're wise people. Can our wisdom increase in 2014? I pray it will. I really do. Stand with me, please. Holy Father, we thank you, God. We thank you for your mercy and we thank you for your grace. Father, when we reflect on all that the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us, it's amazing. It's absolutely amazing the things that he's done for us. Powerful. And Lord, you have instructed, you said, freely you have received, now freely give. Lord, I ask you to help us, Father, to put on us first of all, a burden of prayer, a spirit of prayer, and also a concern for the lost to bring them into the kingdom. I ask, dear God, that you would give us methods and ways and strategies to reach the lost in our communities. God, we pray for those who are in other lands who don't know you. We pray that there would be great evangelists go forth, missionaries go forth in those lands and the sea. Many people come into the kingdom of God. But Lord, we're living here. We're here and we have a responsibility to those who are around us, to those who are on Prince Edward Island. And we ask God for insights, how to reach those people, God. How to show them a better way. And God, we ask that Holy Spirit go before us to prepare the fields, the harvest fields, the people that we are to talk to so that they might be saved. I pray in the name of Jesus. Stir our hearts, God. Lord, as a pastor of this church, God, I really come before you and ask you to change us in this area. Move upon us, God. We're desperate to see souls come into the kingdom of Jesus. We're desperate, Lord, for you to move. And Lord, we know that it is the power of the Holy Spirit upon the things that we do and say that move people. So Lord, I ask that as we step out in faith in 2014, as we step out in faith, that your anointing will be upon the things that we share, the things that we do, so people will be able to hear the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we give you thanks for that now.